Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. You are listening to Kathleen McCarthy, and I hope all of you had a beautiful and blessed Christmas day. And I want to wish all of you again Merry Christmas. Of course, it's still Merry Christmas. And for you, I just want to say it was a joy for me personally to carry each of you in my heart at Mass on Christmas, to lift you right into the heart of the Sacred Heart of Jesus for Christmas Day. And I certainly asked him to bless each and every one of you, to heal you in mind and body and spirit. And our God is a good God all the time. He's always about healing us, renewing us, strengthening us. And I know time and time again, so often, that the holidays can be difficult for many people. The holidays can be a time of even despondency, a time of heartache, a time of recrimination, wish I could have, wish I should have, woulda, coulda, shoulda, time and time again when loved ones are separated. And so I just want to say to all of you, Merry Christmas. And know without any doubt at all that God is working in you and through you for his good pleasure. I just praise and thank God for the gift of this Catholic radio apostolate. I say time and time again, it might be my voice that they hear, but it is you that keep this Catholic radio apostolate on the air. You are the ones that forward the gospel. It is through you, through your prayers, through your generosity, through your belief in what this Catholic radio apostolate is all about. And so I praise and thank God for each of you who believe in everything that our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church teaches, and believe in yourself to know the Christ in you is working a mighty work to forward the gospel of Jesus Christ, to forward his word, bringing health and healing and grace and wisdom and knowledge into so many areas of life, to transform and to change lives time and time again. I want to share a little story with you, and I think it's important that you hear this. You know, I wrote my Christmas letter, and sometimes, you know, I'm sure that many times people get it and don't read it. And but I want to share with you a story for those of you who did not read it. And in it, I wanted to let the people of God know that indeed God is working powerfully through this Catholic radio apostolate. I had received, in the summertime actually, I received a beautiful letter over the internet and an email. And in the letter, it was a man named Stanislaw. And if you're listening today, Stanislaw, know that your letter touched my heart deeply. And because it touched my heart so deeply, I included it in my Christmas letter so that everyone could see the part they play in this Catholic radio apostolate. Because without them, Stanislaw, this message would have never reached all the people in the Ukraine. I share this with you because I think we take for granted many times what we have in our country, in our lives. And we take for granted to such a point that we never give it a second thought. We don't cherish it. We don't sometimes even support certain things in our lives that we take for granted because it's there. It's always there. Well, when I received this letter off of Stanislaw, it was from the Ukraine. And he shared with me some beautiful reflections of how this Catholic radio apostolate has touched his life, but not only his life, but the lives of all his co-workers. And he shared with me that he listens to the program over the internet, and because of all the time change and so forth, he said they don't leave work. They would normally be finished work, but they don't leave work. And he said that what they do, they all sit around their desks when they're done, waiting for In His Sign to come on. And they listen to it. It said that in his letter, it said that how it inspires them, how it gives them hope and builds their faith. He said that we don't have anything like this in the Ukraine. And so we all wait around listening to the internet radio, listening to it, to be inspired, to learn more about our faith, to begin to understand what the church really teaches. And he went on to say some very beautiful things. But he says, on behalf of myself and all of my co-workers in the Ukraine here, I want you to know that you will possibly never, ever understand or be aware of how other people's lives are changed through this Catholic radio apostolate. He went on to say that one person's life in particular has been transformed. But he said for all of his co-workers to sit around and listen to this hour of power, as I call it, that it gives them hope and encourages them in their faith as Catholics. So my brothers and sisters, that's one of the things, and that's what I spoke about in my Christmas letter this year. I thought it's important that you know and that you see what is happening through your prayers, through your financial blessing, through your sacrifices to keep my voice on the air, because it might be my voice they hear. But we all know it's God's word. and you are sending forth God's Word. You are touching people's hearts through God's Word. You are giving people hope through God's Word. And you are giving of yourself to further God's Word. And so I pray today for myself and for all of you who are a part of our family here at In His Sign. I pray that we would never, ever take for granted the magnificent gift that God has given us here to make a difference in the world. You know, I say time and time again that I really believe that when I came here, I said, I really believe the charism God has given me is to bring the fire of God's love to the world. And in times where you wonder, you know, how much of a difference are you making? And you get these letters, like Stanislaw's letter, or letters from one of you saying what a difference this Catholic radio ministry has made in your lives. When you share with me your thoughts on your faith and how you've learned more about your faith, or how you've come back to the faith, or perhaps how your life has been transformed again, I can only tell you this. It encourages me in my faith to continue to do what God has called me to do. I just spoke middle of October. And I was dumbfounded when the priest who introduced me told the story before he introduced me about how this Catholic radio, and he invited me to speak at this place, never telling me this. But he went on and shared his own witness about how this Catholic radio apostolate encouraged in him the gift of priesthood. And he shared that through Dominic Lettieri and later myself, how his faith and his love of God was enhanced when he was thinking and discerning and praying about the calling he believed God had given him through Catholic radio, through this particular Catholic radio station. And then he went on to say that, you know, we had worked on different conferences, and what a blessing it was for him that he can actually attest to the fact of the importance of Catholic radio, particularly in his own life. So maybe today, maybe you could give a call. Maybe you could share your thoughts about what Catholic radio has meant in your life. Or I know our signal is down now. I know that, and it perplexes me greatly. Matter of fact, I found out through a friend of mine, you know, even more detail of why this is with Canada. And there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. And as the, you know, today is the shortest day, I guess, or days are getting shorter again, longer. Whatever. Our signal will be getting better as time goes on. And we'll be back up to our 5,000 watts shortly. But we have to drop to 500 watts. And that is really painful for us. But I want to encourage you, if you are computer literate and you can turn on your computer, and if you go to www.inhissign.com and you click on Listen to Live Radio, you'll be able to hear as clear as day. Regardless of where you're at in the United States, globally, if you click on to www.inhissign.com, you will be able to hear the program without any interference, you'll be able to hear clearly. So I just want to share that with you, and I want to give you our phone numbers. If you would like to share today, give us a call. 610-527-2906. Again, if you'd like to call in and share your thoughts on maybe this, you know, this year, we're coming down to the end of the year. We'll be celebrating a new year very shortly. But what has this year, how has this particular year, has it touched your life? Has this Catholic radio apostolate made a difference? Has it brought peace or hope or joy? If it has, give us a call. We'd like to talk to you about it. Again, this is your Catholic radio apostolate. And does it help you to know? Does it help you to know that that there's people over in the Ukraine listening to this Catholic radio apostolate because of your faithfulness to In His Sign? And that's one of the letters I got. I'm sure there's people listening all over. And my brothers and sisters, it's you who make this possible. So give me a call, 610-527-2906, or you can call toll-free anywhere else in the United States. Maybe you're listening today on that internet. Well, pick up the phone and call. 1-888-343-2484. Again, toll-free, 1-888-343-2484. I'm going to, today, of course, is the Feast of St. John the Apostle. And, you know, what a great apostle he was. And the beauty of the way he wrote. He was poetic in his writings. And we praise and thank God for the gift of all the, you know, St. Mark, St. Matthew, St. John, St. Luke. We praise and thank God for all those who, through the beautiful gift of tradition with a capital T, through their writings, through their teachings, have left us more informed, have shared all that they did and all that they saw when they walked with Jesus, when they conversed with Jesus, when they broke bread with Jesus. They gave us those first-hand testimonies. And John, like no other, has a beautiful gift as an evangelist. You can feel in his writings the love and the tenderness he felt for Jesus and the absolute awe, the awe of Jesus. So I want to read today from the readings of the day. I think they're very important. We just celebrated 2 days ago the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And he enters into all of our lives, you know, when we're searching to make the right move in life, when we're searching to make the right decisions in life, when we're searching for those life-changing decisions, whether to marry, whether to start a business, whether to leave a job and begin a new job. Is this the right person for me, Lord, in my life? Am I in a good relationship? Am I in a good relationship with my children? What kind of a father am I? What kind of a mother am I? What kind of an image do I give them of you, Lord? This is a perfect time, you know, coming to the end of this year and getting close to start a new year. We should reflect on this. That's why they call Jesus a Savior. Because he's with us, moving in us and through us, time and time again, day in, day out, moment to moment. He will not leave us orphaned. He wants to be part of all those decisions, from the biggest decision to the smallest decision, so that he can speak to our hearts and lead us and guide us and show us the way to go. So we go from 2 days ago celebrating the most, as I say on my break, the most extraordinary gift the world will ever know, the birth of Jesus Christ in the flesh, the Word, as John called it, the Word was made flesh. And how was he made flesh? Because the Word went forth, but he wasn't made flesh until the Holy Spirit entered into it. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary so that she would conceive and bear a son, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, who would free us and save us, draw us out of darkness into his glorious light. Jesus, who will save his people from their sins. And that's why they call him a Savior. He didn't just do it 2,000 years ago. He came into the world 2,000 plus years ago. But he always was. He was the Word. He was the living Word. Always was, always will be. And in the fullness of time, he came into the world through the seed of a woman, overpowered by the Holy Spirit, to bring us the Savior of the world. We'll never really be able to understand or comprehend that. But the point remains, because he came into the world, because he stepped out of his world and entered into our world, that he's changing our hearts, that he's washing us in his Word, and through the gift of baptism, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he brings his Word alive in each of us. Isn't that amazing? How good is our God? I want to share with you the readings for today. Look how, just in 2 days, how the Mother Church in her wisdom takes us from the birth of Jesus and talks about the eternal Word made flesh and who also rose from the dead. First reading is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. He says, "Beloved, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we looked upon and touched with our hands, concerns the Word of life. For the life was made visible. We have seen it and testified to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was made visible to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim now to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. For our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing this so that our joy may be complete." How many times do we forget that when Jesus ascended, he left us his Spirit? And he told us that he was leaving his Spirit, that his joy would be complete in us. His joy would be complete in us. Just as the apostle said, that is why he was writing it, so that their joy may be complete. Jesus was the Word, the very Word of life. He was made visible for you and me. And we can depend on the testimony in the gospel today and in the first reading that I just read. He is indeed the word of life. The life was made visible. We have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was made visible. Isn't that profound? Isn't that profound? How was he made visible? That a creature like us, a child of God, a daughter of Israel, acquiesced to the Holy Spirit. What hope that gives you and I. What hope that gives you and I as children created by God for a greater purpose, for a plan that he had from all the beginning of time for me and for you. We're not accidents. We are, before we were even in our mother's womb, Jeremiah tells us that God knew us and formed us and fashioned us before we were in our mother's womb. That was the word that always was, the word of life. And he spoke life into each one of us. He breathed his life into us. And now we have his life. So that you and I, when we die, our tombs are going to be empty too. Why? Because he's the word of life. And those who believe in him will have eternal life. And so when we go home to the Lord, he will call us by name. And we will come to him. He is the resurrection and the life. I wish I had my poem here today. I was looking all over it the last couple of days. I don't have it here, but I wanted to read it today. Because many, many years ago, I wrote it, 1970-something, 71 or 70. When I wrote that poem, I spoke about that eternal word being the little baby Jesus born in a damp and drafty stable, that little baby Jesus. And as we came in for that coming of Jesus 2 days ago, we entered into the church. And we in awe saw the beauty of the church with its flowers and the lights and the trees. We look over and we're in awe of the stable and the, you know, all the different statuary there representing, bringing to mind for us the first nativity when Christ was born, the Savior of the world. The very thought of it almost brings chills to our minds and our heart and our spirit when we enter on Christmas. But that's available to us every day of our lives. It's available to you and to me. We don't have to be stuck in darkness. We don't have to bemoan our state in life. Our state in life is what we make it, how well we acquiesce, how well we surrender ourselves to the living God, the word of life, so that his word can enter into our lives moment to moment, day in and day out. And when we do, when we cooperate with that grace, then he fills us with a power and a grace and a strength that is beyond all understanding. That's what he is, the word of life. And he was made visible through the grace of God being poured out on a little Jewish girl who was raised to know the law, who was raised to be obedient to the law. And when the angel appeared to her, she said, "Yes, let it be done to me according to your word." God's word is living and effective. It's alive. It's living. It's doing a work in us through the Spirit of God that's in us through baptism. Healing us, giving us clarity of mind, giving us grace for the journey. His word washing, the living water washing away our grief, our sorrow, our despondency, our heartaches, when we cooperate with his grace. You are listening to What the World Needs Now. This is Kathleen McCarthy, and what we really need now is for you and I to remember that we too can make a tremendous difference in the world, that we too can be vessels to change hearts one at a time if necessary, to experience the power of God's love. You know, it's his love that changes hearts, that heals bodies, that heals illnesses mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. It's his love for you and for me. And our fellowship, because of Jesus coming into the world as a baby, growing in grace and wisdom and knowledge and stature before his Father and the world, and then dying on the cross for you and I, dying so that you and I will live forever. Look at the difference one life made. One life. The Savior of the world would enter into history and change the course of history forever through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, him working in us. We too can be those hands and feet and voice out there in the world making a difference one heart at a time. I'm going to share with you the gospel now. You know, the responsorial psalm today was Rejoice in the Lord, you just. The just will always rejoice in the Lord. Because when we realize that it was only through the grace of God that we have come into light, light dawns for each of us because of the heart that beats for you and I, the little child whose heart was beating in the body of a baby at the stable, the Christ child. The heart who beats for you and I every day at Eucharistic celebration. His heart is beating in every tabernacle, on every altar that Mass is celebrated. His heart is beating. He's alive. He's present. He's really there. Mind, body, soul, and divinity. That the light of Christ that dwells in us through baptism may enlighten our minds and hearts and understand that truth to such a point that we could never, ever separate ourselves from his Eucharistic heart. I'm going to share the gospel again from John. And as I said, today is the feast of St. John the Evangelist. The first gospel I read when I came to the Lord was John, the Gospel of John, actually. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. When I first read that, and I guess that's why I said I always felt like he's sort of a poet, but when I first read that, when I really opened my heart, my mind, and my spirit to the Lord, when I surrendered really myself to him, I read that Gospel. I read that gospel, and my brothers and sisters, I wept. I wept. I don't cry easy. When I cry, I am moved to my deepest core. And I wept. I wept for all the ways that I finally began to understand of all the ways, the big ways, the little ways, all the ways that I must have wounded the heart of God. I was so sorry for all the ways that I offended my Lord and my Savior, one who went to the cross for me. And then I fell in love as I read. I fell head over heels, passionately in love with my Lord and my God. As I speak it, I can feel to this day that magnificent moment of grace when God let me know without any doubt that because I believed in Him, because I came to know that He was Lord of my life, that He was my Savior, saving me, washing away all the debris, washing away all those things in my life that didn't bring me closer to Jesus, and given me a beautiful gift, not of guilt and shame, but of repentance. Of repentance, so that I could turn to Him, the one I had fallen in love with as I read the Gospel of John, head over heels, passionately in love with, so much so that I was willing to surrender my all, my family, my children, my home, all that I had. It was that living Word touching my heart, spurring me on to give more, continue to give myself to Him so that He could give Himself to me. 40 years ago now. And in those 40 years, I can absolutely tell you before God, that is the greatest moment in my life. When I realized that Jesus died for me so that I could have eternal life. That He came to give up His life on a cross as humanity so that I could live forever with Him in paradise. That no matter all the people that I knew, everybody that I loved, that there was nobody, no one that could love me the way Jesus loved me. There was no father that could love His daughter more than Father God, because He gave His only Son for me. There was no brother that could love his little sister better than Jesus loved me, because He would walk with me and talk with me. He'd watch over me and protect me. And there was no love so great that I could ever experience than the love between the Father and the Son in the person of the Holy Spirit, who began to sanctify me when I opened my life, my heart to Him. He began to sanctify me. He began to wash me, heal me, renew me, strengthen me. What a mighty God we have. And that came from having a priest lay his hands over me and pray over me. The first time I wound up at a prayer meeting, almost by accident, really by accident. And I knew that night that God was calling me deeper. My first experience ever was down in Florida. I had been away from the church at the time. And when I was at that first Catholic church in the United States of America, called Nombre Dios, Name of God, in Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, when I walked into that church and Jesus touched me, I've never been the same again. Never, ever been the same again. I came, although it was very elusive in the beginning, I knew something was different. I knew Jesus had touched me. I knew He touched me. And if I never felt that touch again, it was strong enough that would last me a lifetime. And that was because I came to know the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and by the love between the Father and Son through the Holy Spirit that began to sanctify me from the inside out. Weak as I am, we're all sinners. I began day by day to fall more in love with Jesus. Isn't that how He touches each of our lives? Let me read you the gospel. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb. We do not know where they put Him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter. We say because Peter was so much older then. And they arrived at the tomb first. Isn't it amazing that even there shows that Peter, even then, they deferred to Peter. John wouldn't go in to that tomb. He waited for Peter, the first vicar. He waited for Peter before he went in that tomb. So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived there first. He bent down and saw the burial cloth there, but he did not enter in. So when Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloth, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple who also went in, the one who had arrived there first, and he saw and believed. And that's the gospel of the Lord. We have a caller on the line. Let me see. Hello, John. Now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You're on the ball, Kathleen. And you know what? I had to call to give glory to God on my patronal feast day.
Yes.
St. John. And for those who do not know this, I think now is the time that I should say it. And I will say it because the word of life and the light of God are here today. And John, the beloved disciple, of course, back in 1997, Big Mike Hollerin, who a lot of people know from years gone by, took me to St. Catherine of Siena for a mass and a healing service afterwards with Father John McFadden and David Haggerty. And I stayed up in the choir loft for a good while until the end, and I said I wanted to go down and get prayer, and everybody was coming at the time, kneeling at the altar railing. And instead of going to Father McFadden, Kathleen, I went to David and asked his prayers. And so David asked my name as he came to me. It was down towards the end as we were kneeling at the altar rail. And he stopped for a moment in prayer. And then he turned to me and said, "Do you have a devotion to St. John the Evangelist?" And I said, "No, not really." He said, "Get one." From that moment, I realized that for the first time in my life, I always looked curiously at St. John's life with Jesus as an apostle. But then, not long after that, one night, late about 2 o'clock in the morning, I get up and I go to a little book and I open it, Kathleen. And would you believe, I open it to a page where it said, "Devotion to St. John the Evangelist."
Praise God.
And I realized, wow, what a word that David had given me. Very prayerful man that he is.
Yes.
And I realized that what I heard not long ago, St. Father Kevin McGoldrick, young priest.
Oh, yeah.
Father Kevin said, "You know something?" And he said it very emphatically. "You know, saints, we don't choose saints," he said. "The saints choose us, like Jesus. You have not chosen me, I've chosen you. They draw us to themselves. They want to be our friends before we want to be their friends." And Father Kevin really struck a bell. It was the first time I heard that put that way, because he is devoted to two very special saints, St. Philomena and St. Teresa, the Little Flower. So I was very taken by that, and it's true.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely true, and we see it in the case what happened to me that night, where David went into prayer and said, "Do you have a devotion?" I said, "No," and he said, "Get one." That's all he said so imperatively. I realized this is what God wanted from me, to introduce me into a friendship, a fellowship, as John himself writes, with him, to come closer to that Sacred Heart, which we all, like you said, fall in love with when we really come close to the Lord, when he draws us to himself. Because John was the one, I have to tell everybody and remind them, John at the Last Supper so beautifully begins the devotion to the Sacred Heart when he reclines at rest at the Last Supper. And if you can get the picture, somebody I know very well, my wife's one of my wife's best friends, has a picture of that very event that took place at the Last Supper, where John, that young John, mm-hmm. leans over with his head leaning on the breast of Christ. And what a beautiful symbol of the devotion to the Sacred Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of that, Kathleen, today, I had to call and share that, because everyone know this is what the Lord wants for each one of us.
Amen.
That we should, like you say, come to know the love as John knew it. As John said, the word of life. You use the word because, you know, me and my wife pray the office in the mornings. She'll pray at night. But I'll pray the office together in the morning, and the liturgy, that liturgy of the hours. And I'll tell you, Kathleen, it has really brought us to share that fellowship. And she's really been, her eyes of her heart have really been opened as we pray with the church. And like you say, open the Word of God and hear him speaking to our hearts. And these feast days, especially during the octave of Christmas, Kathleen, St. Stephen yesterday, St. John today, really kind of strike a note, as John said. This is what we have known from the beginning, that the Word in the beginning was the Word.
Yeah.
You know, and the Word was God, the Word is God. And he came to become one of us. But he, like he says so beautifully, like no other of the other writers, the Word became flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that happens at every Mass.
Exactly.
You know, and you and your Eucharistic love of Jesus' Sacred Heart, I think for those, and again, the signal is so clear on my radio, especially during this time of only 500 watts. So I'm very blessed that during this time when the power goes down, to continue to hear a clear word spoken from where you're at.
Praise God.
And I want to thank God for it in all the years, and continue, Kathleen, to bring forth that word of life, as St. John beautifully so put it, you know, in his writing of the word, the Eucharist, in chapter 6 of his gospel, and of course the resurrection account, which you just read, as he ran to the tomb but waited for Peter.
Yep.
You know, he respected the authority.
That's right.
The anointing, and he himself writes of the anointing in his own letters.
Yes.
You know, this anointing we have received. And I ask the Lord to particularly bless the network during this time of, as darkness kind of, you know, takes more hold of our lives as we look to that springtime. And Kathleen, I'm as I heard Archbishop Chaput today on the spot, I have to believe that, as Pope John Paul II said, and Brian Gale reminded us, he saw it on his deathbed. He said, "I see the new springtime rushing toward us." And he said, "It is, and we can summon it by the new evangelization,"
yeah.
which you have been called to do, and you've received the mandate.
Yes, I
to
did.
Do.
Yes, I did.
And I want to reaffirm you in that, the prophetic voice, and the church always has to fix its eyes on the prophetic message because of how the importance of it for now. And I believe as we look to the time, if you know, the upcoming weeks ahead and months, the year ahead, I think in this sign plays an important part in proclaiming, you know, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have touched, what we have looked upon.
Yes.
So I praise God. I want to pray for everybody today. I want to ask St. John, my patronal saint, to intercede for us as if he would to upon the breast of Jesus, that sacred heart, and that he would speak a word on all our behalves, and especially on Intersight Network, and that we can continue to have that fellowship with one another through this wonderful ministry, and that this word will continue to have a place in our lives, and that we can proclaim his praise and his glory, and continue to lift up the name of the Lord and the cross. And because he was, you know, Kathleen, I wear one final thing. My wife gave me a beautiful medal, and it's a medal of Jesus on the cross, Our Lady, and St. John. And it was before she ever realized that I was to have, I had a devotion to him.
Wow.
So it was absolutely, again, another gift of and blessing to know that he wants us to come close to that heart, which you have spoken so well of, and you spoke so well and when you were blessed to speak at the First World Congress on the Sacred Heart. And I thank God to be able to know someone who has, after so many years, like you shared from when you were a little girl, I'm going to go there one day. So you did. And so now you speak the word of life. And I thank God for you, and I thank God for all our people. And Kathleen, as we continue to, because God is light during these dark hours of that we the power goes down, know that that power of God is always available to us as he sends forth his word to heal and to save our lives from destruction.
Praise God. You know, John, it's funny, you know, you say about the darkness and so on, and with today's gospel, you know, so often, particularly around the holidays, there's many that are, as I started to say earlier today, that are in sorrow, and it's a hard time. It's a devastating time for many people. And I think so many times, you know, we have to really remember that in spite of that sadness, it's in those times when we allow the sadness to take over, or the grief to override our feelings of worth and truth and life. And those times, that's when we fail. We miss that God's promises. We miss his all his words of life that tell us that he wants to take us from sadness and to joy.
Into the new hope.
From grief to grace.
Enduring love.
And we forget that, don't we? When things come into our lives, it's easy to get taken off that. And we, you know, we begin to slip and slide. And unless we know the word of God, unless that word has been made flesh in our own hearts, then we won't be able to see through the darkness with the eyes of Christ. And that's so important.
You know, Kath, before you go on, I don't have to hang up because I knew you were going into prayer. You know, for many years, and you know firsthand, for many years through my life, I had that sadness, during that, especially during these times of the year.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it was something that I grew up with. And my family had its own sadness and its own sorrows and dread of the holiday seasons. So I knew that firsthand. So now as I look back, I told my wife, I said, you know, I just love this time of the year now, but I do remember when I was in the darkness and the sadness of many who go through it, Kathleen.
Yes.
And even though they put a smile on, Kath,
you
could see it that it's not, they have not known that fellowship of that word of life. They have not known the reason, as John did, that the word became flesh. He became one of us. And you know, he came to us because our King came to us. It's just beyond. It's such a mystery we enter into. We have no words to express that the writers, the evangelists, give us an opportunity to contemplate with in prayer. But you know, you do see that the hearts have not been open to him, and as it was then, you know, and you realize, and this is what brings the darkness. And the sadness, and you prayed for me, God bless you, because when you saw that in my own life, and that was the moment that I was able to step out.
Yes, you did.
And then yet still, it still seemed that, you know, the battle continued to rage to take it out away from me, because John said, let no one rob you of your joy. And, you know, and now I have to be so careful lest anyone would rob me of that, and because we know our enemies are not flesh and blood.
Amen.
But principalities and powers. But, you know, that word of God enables us to conquer the evil one, as John writes in one of his letters. And so it was, and that's why I thank to preach, to teach, to heal,
and
to deliver.
Amen, brother.
Amen. God bless you.
You know how long ago I did that conference, and you still remember every word. Praise God.
Your echo, Kath.
There you go. You are. And we both echoed the voice.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, John. Well, my brothers and sisters, we come to the close of the program, and we praise and thank God for all the ways that he touches our hearts with his living word. We praise and thank God for all the ways that he has filled us with a great grace. We can remember that he is the word. He is the word of life, eternal life. And so, Father, in those times of darkness, in those times when we are hurting or wounded, maybe we've lost a loved one, maybe someone we were tending with great care and sacrificial love, and we feel helpless because there's nothing we can do to make them well. But you are the divine healer. You are the healer of healers. You are the Lord of lords. So, Father, for all those who are suffering with depression, all those that are sad, grieving, grief-stricken, devastated by the circumstances of their own lives, Father, I pray today that your word, the word that is alive, the word that's living, I pray, Lord, that your word will go out across these airways today. And where we have forgotten, where anyone has forgotten your promise of eternal life, I ask that you would infuse grace to remind them that one day we will all be together again. I pray, Lord, for all those who are afraid, all those who are depressed, all those who are suffering in mind or in body. I ask, Lord, to bring your healing word to them on this Christmas season, the miracle of hope. For this we pray, for all of our listeners, that you would bless them with the wisdom and the knowledge to know that you came that we might have life and have it to the full. If you're away from the church, come on home. We miss you. God bless you.